This is China Law and Policy, and welcome to our podcast. Perhaps at no other time and perhaps no other field of art has seen the growth in popularity that Chinese contemporary art has seen over the past 20-odd years. While the rest of the global economy may be faltering, the Chinese contemporary art scene is still seeing record prices. But it wasn't always that way. Back in 1990, Chinese contemporary art was largely unheard of in both the Chinese and global mainstream. But much of that changed when Brian Wallace, a longtime student of China and Chinese art, opened the first contemporary art gallery in Beijing, Redgate Gallery. This month, Redgate celebrates its 21 years in existence with a special exhibit, Redgate Gallery's 20th Plus One, opened until December 31st at Redgate's Watchtower Gallery. With its 21st anniversary, China Law and Policy visited Brian Wallace at his gallery to discuss, as well as to be schooled in a field we know little about, Chinese contemporary art. Thank you, Brian, for inviting us today. I want to start with the beginning and a simple question. Why? What made you think to open a contemporary art gallery in Beijing when no one else had? And what was it about 1991 that caused you to open it?
Thanks, Liz. While I was at university here studying Chinese language, my Chinese friends were artists. So back in the 80s, I started to help them organize exhibitions at different venues around town. As you know, there were no commercial galleries, no private galleries. So we had to hire different spaces, and these turned out to be Ming Dynasty buildings, structures, like the Ancient Observatory, and that's where I was doing shows in 88 and 89. But other groups of artists were organizing shows at the Temple of Longevity, the Temple of Law, the Confucian Testing Center, and such places, which were empty and in some cases in quite bad states of repair. But anyway, we were able to use those places. And so during those few years, I got to know many of the artists and enjoyed helping them while I was studying Chinese language at the same time. In 1989, everything stopped, of course, and so I went to the Central Academy of Fine Arts and did a bridging course in contemporary Chinese art history. Not that there was much of that at that time. Then in 91, I'd been here for 5 years and was wondering what I was going to do, go back to Australia or look for a job. Or anyway, it made me think about what we had been doing, and we thought we would try and open a gallery at the observatory.
Okay.
So we went back there, and they said no, but down the road was this Ming Dynasty watchtower, which had just been restored and was reopening to the public. So they gave us that very good introduction to the management here. And that's how we opened Redgate in 1991.
Oh, okay. And when you first opened the gallery, so you were already friends with the artists, but how did you, for the gallery purposes, how did you, like, I mean, did you have to choose between which artists' work to show and to sell? How did you do that?
Well, yes, I was friends with many artists, but we wanted to work with a particular group, so we just got them together.
Okay.
And our first show, I think, had about seven artists.
And who were those artists in the first show?
There was Wang Luyan, Zhang Yajie, Da Gong, to name a few.
And in terms of, like, having a Westerner open a gallery here, how did the Chinese art field in general respond to your presence? I mean, were they happy to have a gallery here, interested in their work, or were they confused as to what your goals were?
No, because they knew me, and they also recognized that this was the first time someone was doing something like this, so they were quite enthusiastic about being involved in it. And we were also supported by the very small foreign community here, mainly diplomats, cultural attachés, students, a few business people who were around at that time. Because they were all, many of them were very, very involved with the Chinese economy, the Chinese lifestyle, meeting Chinese, learning Chinese. So they were very interested in seeing this develop, even though we were developing from nothing and learning from the ground up.
So it sounds like back in, like, 1990-91, it was basically a group of artists and then a lot of Western support, either just, you know, just in supporting their work.
Well, that's right.
Morally, as opposed to financially. What about mainstream Chinese people or, like... Well,
the interest was very limited to the artists and that group of foreigners.
Okay.
Outside of that, there was no interest whatsoever in contemporary Chinese art. People had plenty of other things that they had to worry about before then. They didn't have any experience in going to galleries and, or understanding art. So what we've seen over the last 20 years is a huge sort of educational learning curve for everyone, not just Chinese, but foreigners and Western supporters.
And in terms of, let's focus now like on the shift in Chinese art. I mean, back in 1991, it was pretty much a very small field. But what, in addition to having more mainstream Chinese people support Chinese contemporary art, what are some of the other major changes you've seen in the past 21 years in Chinese contemporary art, in addition to just the support and the prices, I guess? In terms of like art and things.
Well, for the artists that I've been working with, just if we want to talk about their message, it's all been a very strong commentary on what's going on around them, because they've been part of this dramatic change. So they've seen it from very much the inside. And that first group of artists from the 80s, early 90s, they were all sort of post-cultural revolution graduates, and part of that first group who came out of the universities after they reopened. So they have seen a lot, and those people are in their 40s and 50s now. So that generation of artists is one that I keep going back to. You know, I'm not looking for that particular age group, but it's that maturity in their work and that content in their
work. And so what kind of, I mean, the changes, I guess, from 1991, and what do they paint now, I guess? What kind of work are they doing now in terms of their environment, reflecting their environment?
Well, many of them are still working on the same subject matter, and that could be anything about the corruption, the environment, state of living, freedom, things like that. And many, many topics that they talk about and comment on. Some of it's quite direct, but some of it's very subtle.
Right.
And that's their way of negotiating the particular environment here in China.
And what about the next generation that's coming up?
Yes.
20s and 30-year-olds.
That's part of our current show addresses that issue. The subtitle of the show is Two Generations of Contemporary Art. And we asked the older or the artists who've been with Redgate for 20 years to nominate someone that had their eye on who was very good. The problem with looking at that younger generation is that there, many of them are quite well skilled, but they're not that creative. They've landed in the art scene at the time of the boom in the art market, and many of them have chosen being an artist as a career over being a doctor or a lawyer or something else. That's changing, but that sort of bred a young group of people who were not very experienced, not very creative, and so finding the very, very good ones among them has been the difficult task.
Okay.
Finding the strong ones, the independent ones. We've found a few over the last few years, but by having this particular show, we, or the artists we asked, picked 10 very, very good artists. Some of them quite young, some of them in their 30s, even there's a couple in their 40s, but they're quite unknown in the art scene. So these nominators as such took their time and took this role very seriously, because they knew that people were going to see who they chose. So we were very happy with the result there.
And just to go back to some of the younger artists who have chosen this more as a career because of the boom in the art field, what do you think has caused the market for Chinese contemporary art to have become so hot in the past 5 years?
The introduction of a lot of money from the domestic market. Just before that, there was the international auction houses picking up a lot of Chinese artists from the secondary market and pushing prices very, very high.
Okay.
So that sort of led the way, and then very quickly followed by a cashed-up group of Chinese collectors, but primarily investors, who were looking for a quick return. And they landed in that market at the right time and took advantage of it. And some of them did make a lot of money, and lots of them had lots of fun. But now things have been dragging on since 2008.
Right.
Things have settled down, and a lot of those people have moved on as well. So there's been a maturing in that market.
Okay. And do you think that'll be better for the younger artists to have less of this hot market?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of them will move away completely from this career. Mm-hmm. But if the money's not there, they're not that interested.
Mm-hmm. And I guess in terms of the art, Chinese contemporary art, what is it about it that makes it Chinese? I mean, is it a continuation on a spectrum of Chinese art? I mean, I'm very familiar with a lot of, like, the more classical art pieces, the calligraphy. Mm-hmm. And then I see Chinese contemporary art, and it doesn't really look that Chinese to me. I mean, how would you... should I even view it as something that should be on a historical perspective with traditional Chinese art?
That's pretty hard. There are artists who are still using their traditional techniques in contemporary art. They're more or less proponents of maintaining those traditions, mm-hmm. but they're using a very contemporary content. Apart from that, there's a whole range of media being used now, and people are addressing issues which are, to them individually, it was very much about where they are and where they're living, and that's China. But the issues are global, actually.
Right.
And so people could come in and say, well, you know, some of the artists talking about the environment, they say it could be, you know, back home.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly what it looks like back home. So that kind of thing, those issues are very, very global, universal. But what people see in this group of artists, these people in their 30s and 40s, they're surprised by it because their reference to Chinese art going back a few years was the more traditional, was the calligraphy, was the scholar rocks. So they're very surprised. I think over the last decade, the last 15 years, that there is this very vibrant contemporary scene here. And that's what's been a catalyst for their interest.
Right. Now, in terms of the art that's in the current exhibit, can we look at one of the pieces and maybe explain to somebody like me who knows little about modern art what exactly makes it a valuable piece of art?
Sure.
So I'll let you choose one of the pieces. So which one are we going to look at here?
This is Chen Ke.
Okay, Chen Ke. And what's the name of the piece?
The name of the piece is Sacred Mountain. Number 6.
Okay.
Red
Sacred Mountain.
Okay, now he was one of the artists nominated by a senior artist in the gallery, by Wang Yuping, in fact.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, apart from, you know, a wonderful piece of craftsmanship, the very thick oil paint, the colouring all in red and shades of red, which is quite striking, his talking about, say, after 1949, everyone, it was new China. The future was bright. The future was red, communist red.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everybody was working together. There was this unity and common purpose of all these people who were part of the new China.
Okay.
So you can see that in this painting that people are just having fun in the field. They probably had a long work day.
Right.
They're in their regular... probably nylon outfits, nylon white shirts that we used to see everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But what Chen Ke is talking about, he's looking at this nostalgic view of what things were happening back in the 50s, maybe early 60s, and comparing it today, and this disunity out there, this chaos in comparison to that previous time, which was not so much a utopia, but there was very much a common purpose in doing things. And here, today in contemporary China, right now, there's not that unity.
Right. You have a growing disparity in wealth and interests. Any other pieces you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Well, just we were talking about the environment earlier.
Yeah, there's that would be cool.
Zhou Jirong over here.
Okay.
Who is from southern China, but has lived in Beijing since he graduated back in the 80s.
Okay.
From the Central Academy of Fine Arts. And his theme has always been about the environment.
Right.
And you can see this mixed media work is okay. Rather hazy.
What's the title of this one?
Mirage.
Mirage, okay.
So on some of the days when you look out the front door here, this is
it
what
sort
you
of
see,
looks
this
like
urban landscape. And again, you know, that could be anywhere in the world. You know,
right.
It could
be
environment,
any.
A very quickly developing environment, uncontrolled. And then you have this other younger artist over here, Li Xiang, from northern China.
Okay.
With this very bare landscape, barren landscape, the environment has been destroyed.
Right. Okay. Well, just in terms of what else Redgate is doing, I think you talked about how when you originally started Redgate, it was helping to foster the art community. And how are you continuing to do that, like with the artists in residence programs? Can you talk a little bit more about those?
Yeah, we've been doing that for 11 years now, where we invite artists from all over the world and inside China to come and work in Beijing in studios.
Mm-hmm.
And they're averaging about 2 months, sometimes 3 months.
Okay.
And they come in and most of them have never been to China before, so they have to come through this sort of cultural barrier landing, which we help them with, and get them to work as soon as they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be working towards a show back home. Some of them, we're finding more and more work their way into shows here in Beijing, whether in group shows or have some solo shows, or even become represented by galleries here.
Mm-hmm.
So they're finding that the opportunities here of meeting other artists, that's one of the main things, but also meeting curators and dealers and collectors from around the world who are all passing through Beijing.
Okay.
It's something they didn't envisage. And they realize that they may not have had that opportunity back home.
Right,
so they find it that's another very rewarding side of the program for them.
And they also interact a lot with the Chinese art community?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so that's great.
Yeah. And they're finding that they're not here by themselves, but there's a larger artist community of foreign artists who are living here on a long-term basis. So now
Brian, and this show, 20 plus 1, is on until December 31st, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your time
All
and
right.
for teaching us about Chinese contemporary art.